This is the Global Minority Report, a radio outreach of Thomas Robb Ministries, bringing the good news of God's kingdom to God's special people throughout United States, Canada, the nations of Europe, and wherever their descendants have settled. Thomas Robb Ministries is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write us at Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. Thank you for tuning in, and please tell your friends about this broadcast.
Well, David, we appreciate that introduction. We are here with another edition of the Global Minority Report, reporting on the news affecting our people worldwide. And we are here in the beautiful Ozarks, speaking from the Christian Revival Center, and I am with
Rachel Pendergraft.
Rachel Pendergraft. We are here, and we certainly are glad that you have tuned in for another edition of the Global Minority Report. What we got to hear about Terri Schiavo? She hasn't been in the news a couple of years, and now she's back in the news. What's going on
here? Well, absolutely. Just for people that might have forgotten the name, although I know most people haven't, Terri Schiavo is the young woman in Florida here in the U.S. who was in a semi-vegetative state. She wasn't in a coma. She wasn't without brain waves. She had suffered a horrible stroke. She laid in the hospital in a convalescent home for a number of years. Her parents, who are devout Christians, came and took care of her every day. They fed her soup on a spoon. They gave her water from a glass. So just the fact that she could have food from a spoon and water from a glass shows that she was, not quite in a vegetative state.
Now, her husband, who was actually the legal guardian, he eventually got a court order prohibiting them from coming to her bedside.
Absolutely.
And also prohibited her being fed normally, and because he was so-called the legal guardian, her husband, because they weren't divorced. Although I understand that he was in the process of actually getting a divorce when she suffered the stroke.
Absolutely.
He ordered that she be fed intravenously, not be given any solid foods. And I understand even that the room she was in, the drapes were kept shut all the time.
Well, absolutely. Here's a woman. Of course, she's had terrible brain damage and so forth. But the thing is, her family, her parents, brothers, sisters, they came. They kept the windows open. They put her in a wheelchair. They rolled her outside to look at the flowers, to smell the fresh air. She was able to smile and laugh at them, able to communicate with the eyes, with the squeezing. She could squeeze their hand to answer different questions and so forth. And this did not, the fact that all of this life activity was going on did not look good to the future problem that the husband wanted, and that is, how do you have life support taken from a woman, and how do you have her finally die if her family's coming in every day and giving her soup and water, and she's apparently having some sort of life? And so, like you said, Pastor Robb, he got a court order so that she was still given food and water, but it was intravenously. Now, this looked good to all the press and people, onlookers, because she's there wrapped up with tubes, and she's got water, going into her stomach through a tube.
Now, I want to mention, during all this time when he's supposedly the loving husband, he actually was living with another woman and had, I think, fathered two children by her.
Absolutely.
Is this not correct?
That is correct.
So the loving husband, and we understand that people want to move on with their lives. We understand that, but there's still a proper way of doing that. And if that's what he wanted to do, he should have severed his legal guardianship with her, as her parents wanted him to do, and allowed her parents to become the legal guardian, but he refused to do that. And some people claim that there was some type of insurance involved in that. I don't know all the.
There's still ongoing court battles, but
So, but the issue eventually came down to whether he had the right to deny her food, because this is what he eventually did. He pulled the tubes, so to speak.
Right. Terry Schiavo didn't die because of anything from her disease or anything from her her brain injury. She didn't die because she got a drug overdose or hit by a truck. She died because
she starved to death.
She starved to death. She didn't have water. They refused to give her
by order of her husband.
By order of her husband, absolutely.
So in other words, if your husband, Rachel Scott, if he should decide that he wants to deny food. Now, well, let me rephrase it. You and your husband are both the legal guardians of your children. Mm-hmm. This sounds like an extreme case, but essentially the same thing. Because you are legal guardians of your children, do you have, therefore, the ultimate decision to starve them to death if you wanted to?
Well, we would think no, but the way the world is going and with the proponents of euthanasia, I mean, that might not be too far off in history that parents could, you know,
perhaps if the children are a burden.
If the children are a burden and the parents feel that it's interrupting their lives and causing a loss of enjoyment to their life and their career and so forth, then it very well could be possible.
Now, under Christian morality, that can't happen.
Under Christian morality, absolutely.
But under secular humanism,
you
wonder.
The daughter or child of Judaism. I hate using the word daughter. I started to say son, but we'll just say the offspring of Judaism. That is exactly what would happen, because there is no countenance in life. There's no vindication for the innocent, and it's all about what is good for you at
now,
the time.
Now, in some societies, like in the East or in Africa, actually parents do such things, don't they?
Yes, they do. And
husbands
do such things to wives if they're ready for wife number four or something.
Right. So in other words, we're looking at the extreme. But when you take away Christianity out of the equation, and we're going to get back to Terry Schiavo, but this kind of interesting route we're taking. If you take Christianity out of the equation, and therefore all religions have equal status before the law, and the law is not based on Christianity any longer, and therefore all religions have equal status, then somebody from India who says, well, I've got too many girls, we want to have more sons, and therefore want to have the daughter starved to death, or some religious practices, when the man dies, the wife is buried alive with the husband. I know that sounds strange, but if there's no Christianity as our standard, as an absolute standard, then all religions, whatever somebody creates in their minds, have equal status, then that's really not that far-fetched, is it?
That's exactly right. And we've seen numerous governments start giving equal status before the courts with the cultural differences. Like you said, Pastor Rob, in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable to beat your wife or children within an inch of their life, or it's perfectly legal to kill a rape victim because it's brought shame to the family. Some of these things that white Christian people find very hard to believe, very hard to stomach, some of these things and the sentences that are passed down to the perpetrator, to the man who maybe killed his sister because she was raped or something like that, if they're, you know, Islam or something like that, we find that very hard to stomach. But the courts are now taking those cultural and religious differences into account when they sentence people, and they get lighter sentences, and their culture is brought up, and their religion is brought up, and we're told that we have to respect all religions. Well, I really don't want to respect a religion that thinks it's great to kill girls and little babies and the old people.
Now, there was a case here, I know, and we actually reported on this, I think, a while back, where a young girl was raped, and I think this was up in one of the Scandinavian countries, by some Muslims, and a high-ranking Muslim cleric stated that the men should not be held responsible because it's not their fault, because the Western girl, dressed too sexually, that she was basically asking for it, and therefore it's her fault. And that if any punishment should be delivered, it should be against the woman because she dressed in such a way that these poor Muslim men couldn't help themselves.
Well, exactly. I mean,
that's a case that actually happened. We're not making this up.
That is a case that's happened. And cases like that happen throughout the Middle East with the women there. And as they migrate and the Muslim religion is taken in and given more acceptability into our Western nations, then we are going to find that that is going to happen more and more in our Western nations where, you know, throughout history, the rights of women have always been upheld by Christian governments. They knew that women were due honor and respect and protection, and Christianity has always held up the rights of women. But as we move towards secular humanism and towards the acceptance of other religions, not of Christ, then we see that these rights of the family, which what they are, their family rights, are being trampled upon, and we're being told to praise God because we're now in an age of tolerance and that we should all be excited and happy about it.
So really, you destroy all basics of morality and law. Now white people find that, you know, there's going to be white people listening to this and say, well, you know, that's really being far-fetched, you know, because of our thinking. We can't comprehend a society that would brutalize women or children in such a horrible manner as done in some of your other countries in Africa or in Asia. We can't conceive it, so therefore we automatically rule that this will never happen. But it does happen in these other countries, and if we have a government that says we have to honor these different religions, then what is to prevent it from happening in Germany or in England or Sweden, in here in America? Well, there is nothing that will prevent it from happening, because the only thing that prevents it from happening now is Christianity. And if you destroy the basis of Christianity, then that does happen. And we find this happening in a very minor way in the aspect of how some of the Arab women are now posing for pictures for the driver's license in, and I don't know what they call these veils they put over themselves, but they put a veil over themselves, and because they feel it's dishonorable for another man to see their face. And so now we have pictures being taken with driver's license, or you got an ID picture, and you got to look at this person, and all you see is a blanket over their head. You really can't see who it is. And it's funny, we find it ludicrous, but that is, it begins a breakdown of the traditional concept of right and wrong in our Western nations.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and like you said, you know, with the trampling under of Christianity, we find the acceptance of many more of these bizarre ideas about human life and the shallowness that so many people have for life in general. And yet, as you always say, Pastor Rob, that the real devastation to Christianity is the undermining of the people who are the proponents, who are the progenitors of Christianity.
That's why Jesus said, love your God, love your people.
Absolutely. So, you know, we talk about news stories each week in writings and in our monthly paper, The Torch, and so forth. And it always, we laugh about it sometimes, but amongst ourselves, but it always does come back to race. Because when you destroy the people of Jesus Christ, when you destroy the people of the book, then you're going to destroy the faith of the book. When you destroy the faith of the book, then you destroy humanity as a whole. Yeah.
So, and we're not talking about Jews. When you say people of the book, we're not talking about Jews, because it's been proven so many times that Jews have no relationship with the ancient people of Israel at all, and that their homeland is Khazaria. They're Khazars, a Turco-Mongolian people, and have no blood relationship with ancient Israel at all.
Well, absolutely. And like you said, you know, we don't always have time to go into all that here, but, you know, it's unrefutable evidence. It's in their own Jewish encyclopedias. It's in books. It's in Jewish papers and theses, and by Jewish authors and authors and historians and archaeologists going back centuries of who these people are, and they are not the people of the book. The white Christian people are God's people. And when you
and not just because they're Christians, but racially.
Because we are the very people from eons of time back. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah that the covenant was given to.
And that's why European nations prospered and grew and became such a domineering force in the world. Listen, we got a long ways away from our original story of Terri Schiavo. Well, we got to talk about how the right to life that Terri Schiavo had. And then her husband denied her food.
And you know, basically, you know, to sum this up is a story is about.
Rachel, I'm going to interrupt you. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's listen to we got Heritage Connection
Heritage
again.
Heritage Connection.
Let's listen to Heritage Connection, and they'll be right back with this Terri Schiavo case. We apologize that we got sidetracked and digressed, but we're going to come back and finish up the story about Terri Schiavo. We got some more interesting things you're going to want to hear about. So right now it's
okay. That was Heritage Connection, and. You can get a link to their website and their CD off of the website that these shows are archived on, www.globalminorityreport.com. But before the break, we were talking about Terri Schiavo and a recent statement that has been set down by the Pope's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And basically, if you remember, Terri Schiavo is the woman who was murdered because her husband ordered that food and water be withheld from her. And a lot of people, even Christians, whether Protestant or people of the Catholic faith, people that you consider really good Christians, a lot of them said and sided with the husband because they said, well, you know, no one should have to live that way, that they should just let her die. And you know, the fact that the husband was able to manipulate the system so that she was forced to be on life support services, water and food, when prior to that her family was feeding her and she was able to swallow and chew food and drink and stuff on her own. But the Pope's Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith has come out and said unequivocally, because there's been a lot of Catholic people that weren't quite sure about this, and other Christians too, but they have said unequivocally that we are obligated to provide food and water, nutrition and water, to those, even if they're in a coma, if they're in a vegetative state. In other words,
we're not God.
Yeah, we're not God. It's not up to us to decide when a person should die, when they should live. We're only here to provide them the support and the comfort that any person is due until God calls them home. And Terri Schiavo was denied basic food and water and died as a result. And I also want to mention, too, that there's a website that her family has created, but they actually have copies of the medical orders that were telling the timeline of the medication given prior to the time when she actually totally ceased and desist, when her heart failed and she actually died. And for a week after her food and water was withheld, they had to give her round the clock every hour and incrementally more and more higher doses of morphine and pain medicine.
Starvation is not a pleasant experience.
Because of the excruciating pain that this woman, who was able to communicate with her family by squeezing their hand, blinking her eyes, enjoying their company and so forth, she went through excruciating pain because she was not even treated as kindly as a dog at the pound, who's given food and water, even in his last days before it's put down. Terri Schiavo wasn't even given food and water. And she died. She starved to death. She was
murdered. Been more humane if they just walked in there and shot her.
It would have been more humane. And yet, you know, that's perhaps something that other people, you know, people have no concept of human life anymore, and they treat it so callously.
Now, all these people, like the groups like PETA, which care about the life of animals, and Amnesty International, they weren't there to help.
None of those people were help. It was just your good, traditional Christian people that came out and have sent support to the family.
And often those people were portrayed by the media as being like religious fanatics. Extremists
absolutely.
Of some sort.
Religious fanatics that just doesn't understand that, hey, sometimes bad things happen and people just need their life support removed. Well, you know.
Who's to decide those things?
Who's to decide
the
those
government.
Things? I guess the government gets to decide those things.
Well, anyway. People want to portray their Christian moralities and principles for government decisions are going to, I guess, reap the decisions of the government and suffer the consequences accordingly. Rachel, we are over there in, well, I said we're over here in the Ozarks, but UK, the United Kingdom, they're having trouble with migrants. I find that somehow I'm not surprised. It seems that they seem to think that these foreign workers are coming into England and into the UK, other parts of England, the British Isles, it's creating problems for people. And this is a news story, but in reality, it's a news story that can be written for any nation.
For any little hamlet or town or village or big urban area, the story could just change the name of the city and it could just go for about anywhere.
Well, anyway, United Kingdom is having an influx of migrant workers and causing uncontrolled pressure upon society, upon their employment and so on. Even in drinking, drunk driving has gone up 17% in space of a year because of the sudden invasion by these foreigners. And it says that partly because people are acting the way they do in their own country. Because in some of these third world countries, the standards are not the same as they are in more civilized society. And so people are coming to these countries and they think, well, they can act the same way they do back home.
Well, sure. They think they can, we're having the same problem. In Europe, most of their problems are with people from the Middle East, North Africa, and so forth. Here in this country, we have a lot of problems with Mexicans and Asians. I guess the Asian problem over there also. But, right, they come from their country where they have little law of dealing with drunk drivers, they have little law of dealing with domestic abuse, they have little law of dealing with the age of consent and so forth. So you have 50-year-old guys that are Muslim guys that are trying to go after, 13, 14-year-old girls to marry over there in Europe. You've got the drunk driving deal. You've got all types of domestic abuse cases stemming from that.
In some of those places over, like in Asia and so forth, in Africa, and these non-white countries, actually the parents arrange for some of these young girls to become prostitutes. I mean, it's because they want more money, and so they put their 10, 11-year-old girls out on the streets as
and
prostitutes.
And boys, too. There's a part of
And they want that to come to England and America and Germany and Belgium and Sweden and Ireland and all our European – that's what they want. That's what they want in our European countries. They want to be able to bring this alien culture into our society so they can just sell their 10, 11-year-old boys and girls out on the streets as prostitutes.
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting because so many people think that the way to solve the problem, and even in this story that we have, the Cambridgeshire Chief Constable, Julie Spence, she's been speaking out about the problems with so many immigrants coming in and people trafficking and credit card theft, identity theft, the increase in crime and so forth. But even she makes and they're asking for more money to deal with this and more officers, but she still makes the mistake that so many other people who are against immigration make. They say these people coming here need to learn our language and learn our customs. It's not going to happen. Our people are going to learn their customs because our people are taught to be tolerant to them.
Well, right. And the thing is, learning – the quote she gave here, Rachel, is it's also important that we welcome into the UK to work and settle here, talking about the immigrants, that we welcome them into the UK to work and settle here and to understand our traditions, learn English, and use our language. Rachel, they won't ever become Englishmen. They can live in England for 1,000 years, 1,000 generations, and they will never become Englishmen. What England will become is the kind of country they create. cultures do not.
Pakistan or Taiwan or something like that.
I think it's people have this idea that cultures can be transferred to different people, that people become English because of the culture they were raised under, or people become German or European because of the culture.
Black man puts on a kilt and he's a Scotsman.
That's the absurd thinking they have, but they'll never become Scottish, they'll never become German, they'll never become English. They'll just subvert the nations they move into. And, the Bible says one of the things that's going to happen to our people when we fail to understand the basic principles that Jesus Christ taught, which is to love your God and love your people. We fail to understand those two basic principles. He said one of the things that's going to happen, this is recorded in their Bible, people can pick up their Bible and return to Deuteronomy 28th chapter, and I believe it's the 43rd verse. He said, one of the things that's going to happen is the stranger that is within your gates is going to get above thee very high, and you're going to come down very low. These strangers that are coming into England, the strangers, these strange foreign people, I don't mean foreign come from other parts of Europe, but people that are foreign to, they're alien, foreign alien, racial alien people, who come into Germany, come into Poland, come into Belgium,
coming
into France.
Coming into Russia. Russia's got coming in more than they can handle.
Oh, yes, because Russia has as a decrease, as all of Europe, has a decrease in the population of the native people. And so they're flooding, they're bringing in these other alien people into our homelands because they say we need more workers. And it has nothing to do with the helping people, but as much to do with helping business, because they need more people working in the sawmill, so to speak. And that's a song here in America, working at the sawmill. So
right. Well, instead of giving decent, payable living wages to hardworking white families, they would rather keep the wages low, the working conditions deplorable, and they'd rather invite and welcome and actually go out and get non-whites from third world countries and bring them in there.
They'll work cheaper.
All to help satisfy international finance.
Absolutely. It's international. That's what it's all about. We support free enterprise. We support, but free enterprise is based upon the concept that free enterprise is there to help people. Capitalism is that they use people to help business, and that's the difference. People confuse the difference between free enterprise and capitalism. Free enterprise uses business to help people. Capitalism uses people to help business. That's the difference. And that's why they're in Russia, they said they need to bring in all the millions and millions of more immigrants to support business. That's what they're saying in this country. We need more immigrants to support business instead of paying people decent wages so they can afford to have more children and to work and support families. They'll rather have people who cannot afford more children and therefore deplete the number of children they can have, reduce the number of children that are born in our native homelands. So Germany is not reproducing itself. Russia is not reproducing itself. English is not reproducing itself. So what's the answer that big business has? Bring in more migrant workers from Saudi Arabia. Bring in more migrant workers from Asia. Bring more migrant workers from the Philippines. And bring in more doctors from the Arab countries in England, and to bolster the economy, because we need more workers, because big business needs more workers.
Absolutely. And our Christian countries came to greatness under free enterprise. It wasn't until they took over and turned into a capitalist society that we really started having the economic problems that we have today.
Rachel, I tell you, I think we might have gone through our time. Until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Rachel Pendergraft.
We want you to love your people. Jesus said, love your people, love your God. We want you to love them too.
You have been listening to Global Minority Report with Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. The Global Minority Report is a radio ministry of Thomas Robb Ministries and is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write for a free sample copy of our news and ministry magazine by writing to Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. If possible, when you write, please include a small offering to cover our mailing expenses. Our address again is Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. You can also visit us on the internet at christianidentity.tv. Please tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Thank you for listening, and again, this is the Global Minority Report.